Amen. I'm excited to announce a new series today, Walk in the Spirit. Excuse me, I'm having to get some of my accessories in order here. Walk in the Spirit. We're going to be using Galatians chapter 5 as really our home base for this study. But we will venture off into the classic passages about the Holy Spirit. And today I want to do that. We will start in Galatians 5, but we're going to be looking at an idea of live in the Spirit underneath the heading of our series, Walk in the Spirit. And we find this phrase, live in the Spirit, in Galatians 5, 25. So I hope that in the next weeks you will add Galatians 5 at some point in your spiritual reading and just peruse it and pray through it. Join me in this adventure of how to walk in the Spirit. I don't know about you, but I believe we live in a noisy world. A world that does not emphasize the spiritual life. I guess maybe you're like me. You've tried the idea again of a new year, bringing some new habits. What's your focus in life today? Have you started a new exercise program? I have. Are you reading a new book on how to improve your diet? I am. I do those things, trying to get enough sleep and remove stress out of your life and all those things. But the reality is, none of that will actually accomplish much if we do not first prioritize our relationship with Jesus Christ. If we don't understand our spiritual life, the part of us that is going to live forever. I happen to believe that my days are numbered. And the reason I do exercise is not to lengthen my life, but simply to take care of the body that I have today, to live better today, to live the life he's got for me today. I'm not promised tomorrow. It may be a clicking, ticking time bomb in my DNA, or I don't know. I think of all kinds of things. How is it that we travel up and down highways exactly 70 miles an hour, maybe a little more, but and nothing ever happens? We get there, we come back. I'm like, this is a miracle. It's an absolute miracle how we even drive. I'm looking at some of you nodding your head. There's a brother here just literally pulling out of his office going down a road, and a lady just veered off the road and crashed right into it. It's amazing that doesn't happen all the time. But God has a plan. But the reality is, if I'm not walking with the Lord, I don't care what your waistline is. Really, it doesn't matter if you're getting 8.2 hours of sleep every night. The reality is, it's our spirit life. John writes in his third epistle, he says, and it's a principle we need to hold on to, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health. How? Just as your soul prospers. If you're not prospering spiritually in your relationship, God is spirit, and we must worship him in spirit and in truth. There has to be a reality that you're more than just a physical body in a material world. We have to recognize that today is the day the Lord has made, and he wants us to experience it with him and our spirit that will last forever. So I want to talk about that. How does that happen? What do you mean spiritual life? That's one of those biblical phrases that we need to put some handles on, some practical handles. And say, okay, tell me what that looks like. What is that? How is that being accomplished in our life? Today, we're going to enter into this series, but when you read chapter 5 of Galatians, what you find out before we get to walking in the Spirit, we have to live in the Spirit, and then we have to stand in the Spirit. We have to stand in our faith. Just like a child doesn't just come out walking, there's a process. Life, standing, walking. In step with the Spirit is what walking in the Spirit means, just to be in step with the Holy Spirit's leadership in your life. And we want to live that way. God calls us to that kind of life. And so Galatians 5:25 says, if we live in the Spirit, if you're alive in the Spirit, you've been born again by the Holy Spirit, live that way. Walk in the Spirit. Walk in step with the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm going to preach the whole series in one message, so let me continue on. You and I need to be aware of the presence of the Spirit. If we're going to live in the Spirit, the first thing I want to offer to you is that we just need to once again be aware of the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ promised God the Holy Spirit would be with us. I mentioned this verse in Christmas Eve, in John chapter 14 and 15 and 16 and 17, all these great chapters. I mean, they're red letter chapters where the Lord is teaching. And he says, and I'll pray the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you, my disciples, you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Now, notice in this passage of Scripture, what we have here is a very key understanding of the Trinity. We're seeing it right here in this passage of Scripture, where we see him talking about I, Jesus, God the Son, the Father, God the Father, and the Spirit. God the Spirit. Three in one. The Trinity. That's how we are aware of the Trinity. We come to the Lord and say, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, God in one. Let me just take a little moment, come to take a little side. Let's stop paddling in the river and kind of come to the shore for just a moment. Put our paddles down. When we talk about the Trinity of God, the triune God, three in one, triune, three in one, triune God, the Trinity. Isaiah 6:8 is a great missionary passage. And it goes something like this. Then I heard the voice of the Lord asking, who will I send? Who will go for us? Isn't that interesting? I and us. I said, Isaiah says, here I am, send me. Now, when your children sign up for Bible drill, they're going to learn that verse this semester. And I hope every parent of a fourth, fifth, and sixth grader signs up for Bible drill. Now, if you're first, second, and third, your children are going to learn to get ready for Bible drill and Bible buddies. They're going to get the books of the Bible. They're going to understand those things. Now, our students, they're at advanced level. There's a student drill for high schoolers, junior high and high school. And it's quite amazing what they have to put to memory. But you can do it. If I can do it, you can do it. I know I can do it because I've done it before. I'm just having to do it all over again. And it's going to be a great, great semester. And I encourage you at Sundays at 5, which begins next week, to have your children involved in Bible drill. Now, parents, that's a commitment. Why? Because you have to help them learn Bible drills. Now, you get to keep the sheet. You get the cheat sheet. But, man, I'm going to tell you something. It's going to bless your soul. I encourage you, just make a commitment. My kid's going to be in Bible drill. I'm going to be a part of that. But when I came across Isaiah 6:8, when they learned that this year, I thought, isn't that interesting there? It gives kind of an allusion to the Trinity where the Lord says, who will I send and who will go for us? Just as natural to use single unity and plurality there, community, God, 3 in 1. So the Trinity is all persons, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, are all coexistent and co-eternal. There wasn't a time where the Father existed and the Son didn't exist, or the Holy Spirit didn't exist. No, they have always existed, and they are forevermore co-eternal. They are beyond time. So God expresses Himself as one. There is no other. He is the one and only God. And He expresses His personality as three: God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Now, we talk a lot about God the Father and God the Son. But friend, don't forget the role of God the Holy Spirit in your life right now. And so not only do we have to have an awareness of the presence of the Holy Spirit, we have to have an awareness of the purposes of the Holy Spirit. What is God the Holy Spirit doing in my life right now? Let me just briefly, this could be a whole sermon series, but I just want to give you kind of an overview of today so you can rejoice that God is with you and that He is doing incredible things in your life as a believer, as a follower. But not only as a believer, friend, he has a role to play in everybody's life. The first thing He does is to educate the lost of their sin. He convicts people of sin. Jesus said so in John chapter 6. He says He's going to come and convict the world of sin and judgment. He's going to let them know sin is in your life and there's a judgment for your sin waiting. Now, good news, He then tells people, turn to Jesus. He is always pointing people to Jesus. He's testifying about Jesus. I was listening to a podcast just a few days ago, and I added this in the message today. It was an interesting podcast. I like food. I don't know about y'all, but I almost enjoy food every day, sometimes 3 and 4 and 10 times a day. But that's another problem I have. But food. And so I like cooking shows. I've always liked cooking shows. I always like to watch how people cook, what they're cooking, learn a technique, and tell Miss Terry about it so she'll cook it for me. It's things like that. I'm trying to help. And so I'm watching this cooking show, this podcast, and it's called The Last Meal With, and this guy brings in famous people, and he just tells them, if you had a last meal, what would it be? And they pick this elaborate breakfast, lunch, dinner, the whole thing. And this guy's team of chefs, if they can't go get it and bring the actual thing here, like a, you know, Bob's Sandwich Shop hot dog, you know, I mean, they go make a version of it. And then they bring it, they're eating this food, and he interviews them. And somewhere in the interview, he asks this same question of every famous person. He asks, what happens at death? He wants to know their opinion. What do you believe happens at death? Well, the one episode I was watching was Jason Kelsey. Anybody know Jason Kelsey? Now, you will know him. He has a brother named Travis Kelsey of the Kansas City Chiefs, America's greatest football tight end. Well, his brother is also a football player, played for the Philadelphia Eagles, and he himself is considered the finest center, football center, to play the game. Now retired Super Bowl champion, and they have a podcast, and now Jason Kelsey's wife, she has the number one podcast last week. She's in the podcast world, and I'm telling you, they must be making money hand over fist. Very popular people in media, football, Hollywood. One of them, Travis is dating, who is he? Who's he dating? Huh? Taylor Swift. Thank you so much. See, y'all didn't play the game. Y'all are no fun. I was expecting 500 people saying, Taylor Swift, you dummy. So, famous people. But Jason's answer was this. Normally, he asks in the first of the interview, but he asked it at the end of the interview. And Jason said, do you really want to know what I believe? He said, yeah. He said, I believe when you die, they dig a hole in the ground, they put you in it, they cover you up, and that's it. He said, I don't believe in the afterlife. I've read all kind of religious thoughts, and I've listened to other people, and I guess religion might can offer you some advice on how to live better, but I don't believe in the afterlife. And you know, he's a sharp guy, nice guy. I enjoyed watching his team play football. I have loved football this year until Wednesday night, and it's lost me. I don't enjoy it anymore, at least maybe next year. But friend, the Holy Spirit convicts every person. You have a need, and it's an eternal need. There is a God. He has a plan for your life, and standing in the way is your lack of faith, your sin against Him, your unwillingness to turn from your old lifestyle and come and recognize there's a greater life, and it's your spiritual life. You have a spirit that's going to live forever somewhere. It's going to live in heaven or it's going to live in hell. You're going to live with God or you're going to live away from God. But the way to God is through faith in Jesus Christ. And there's more to this life than just this stuff. This is just a temporary place, and the life here is temporary. There's an eternal life with Christ. So the Holy Spirit educates the lost. Now, you can turn away from the Holy Spirit. You can reject it, and many do. But if you receive the Holy Spirit, what happens is He enlivens the people of God. Your life goes from death to life. You come alive. Regeneration, Titus 3:5. You become alive in Christ, and then He empowers the people of God who are alive in Christ, has been born again, and they begin to be transformed and they grow in the Spirit. And then He endows the people with spiritual gifts. You get incredible gifts. Everybody here has at least one spiritual gift to do the work of God. That's how specific God's plan and expectation for you is in this life. He has a plan for your life, and then He educates us constantly, teaching us the things of Christ, helping us to grow in our faith. He is the Spirit of truth. And all along the way, the Holy Spirit is encouraging the people of God, helping. In fact, Jesus says, God the Father will send the Helper. You will not live in this crazy, broken, mixed up world by yourself. He's with you. I'm with you. The terms of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, God, Jesus, Spirit become intermingled because there's oneness in the Godhead. There's only one God and He is with us. So they speak. Jesus spoke about these things almost interchangeably, and yet they all had their specific roles as well. And so be aware that God is at work in the person of the Holy Spirit in your life. Now, once we recognize the Holy Spirit is alive and well, God the Holy Spirit in our world, and He's here for a purpose to do God's work in our life, you need to be aware that the Holy Spirit wants to speak to you. He wants to lead you. As many are as led by the Holy Spirit, they walk in the Spirit. God is speaking, instructing, teaching, and leading you. And God often speaks, my friend, not in a loud Baptist preacher's voice. The prophet Elijah was expecting the mountains to rumble. And they did. But God was not in it. He wanted some cataclysmic sign that God hadn't forgotten. Maybe a thunderstorm or a great wind would blow. It did, but God was not in it. You know the answer. Elijah found and heard the voice of God, and it was a still, small voice. See, that's how God most often speaks to us. I believe that's the way Jesus spoke. He didn't go around shouting at people, snatching them up by the collar and saying, listen. Well, he did a few religious people because they're hard-headed and hard-necked, but people like you, people like me just kind of walked in their presence. They were sitting, you know, or coming to a well to get water in the middle of the hot day. He'd just sit down by the well, and here they come, and he'd ask them a question. Could you get me some water? It's just a simple, quiet, still. But you and I live in that noisy world, and noise comes to distract and confuse. In fact, if you'll go to any stadium, watch any football game, go to any major baseball game, somewhere in that stadium, when the team needs to be energized, or in football, if somebody needs to be distracted and confused, the home team is encouraged, make some noise, get louder. We want to confuse them. We want to distract them. And so often many of us go into our noisy world and our heart is still filled with noise. And we wonder why we can't hear the still, small voice of our Savior. Because we will not turn down the volume for 1 second. We almost ask God, I don't want to change what I'm doing. I want the noise. I'm uncomfortable because if I go silent, I actually have to think. I actually have to be aware of my needs and where I'm failing. But the Lord wants to make you aware far more than your humanity. He wants you to be aware of who He is in you and what can happen. Don't let the devil keep your life so noisy. Henry Nouwen said, without solitude, getting away like the Lord Jesus did, without solitude, it is virtually impossible to live a spiritual life. Many of us want to live in the Spirit. We believe in Jesus. We've gone to a Bible study, but we will not stop long enough, get alone, and let silence happen in our life. We do not take the spiritual life, he continued, seriously if we do not set aside some time to be with God and listen to Him, period. Nothing else. You can listen to all the sermons online. You can get all the information you ever want. My friend, we are inundated in this society with information. You can listen to all the praise songs. You can fill up your day, your car, your smartphone. You can put your ear pods in your ear when you go to Walmart so you can listen to something positive and some more. But if you've never stopped that day and gotten alone in silence with God, have you really even heard the voice of God that day? For your life, not for the church in general, no, for you. Be aware of His presence and be aware of His purposes, but my friend, most important, you need to be aware of the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to you today. He speaks in that still, small voice, and you and I not only have to push away the noisy world we live in, you must take time right now to get silent each day alone with God. Find your place. Find your place. First thing you and I need to do is silence the external noise in our world. Find a place where it's quiet, where you can be alone. Now, you've got three preschoolers. That's virtually impossible. You're sleep deprived. You're anxious. You're looking for more help. And you don't think you have any time. I'm going to encourage you. You may be in that situation, which in my world right now, when I observe my family and people in my family, I don't know how they do it, but I'll tell you what you've got to do. You've got to find that time. Now, for me, and the time that Jesus, according to Scripture, did, I'm not making this some rule, but it's become a rule in my life, it has to be first thing in the morning. Once I step out, the time is no longer mine. The noise begins. I have all these plans, and I've got a calendar, and I've planned all these things. It never happens the way I think it's going to happen. Why? Because I'm not in control of everything. But early in the morning, turns out no one's really calling. No one's bothering. Nothing happens. So how do you do that? How do you silence the external noise each day? Two things that I encourage you to do. One, find a place to be alone. I have a place on the end of a couch in our living room, Terry and I's living room. That's my place. Terry has a place at the breakfast table. And she has all of her stuff there, and that's her time. I get up earlier than Miss Terry does, and so I'm out and about. And so when I leave, she says, guess what? Now she's alone. And so she can be alone and not having the pastor running around there making noise everywhere. And she can actually be alone and in the quiet. I must say, the pastorium is in one beautiful place. Whoever built that thing decided the place to put it in 1962 did an excellent job. It is in a beautiful, quiet location in this city. And so you can get alone. But let me give you one that you are absolutely going to balk at. You say, well, I can do that one. And that's what you've already read on that screen. And you say, he better not go there. Put your smartphone to bed. You know, I used to be bad, man, about having my smartphone. Excuse me, let me get this. This is a keepsake that I just found. I had put in my pocket. Somebody gave me. How do you put your phone to bed? You know how you put your kids to bed, parents? That's how you put them to bed. Now, if you've got older kids or teenagers and they got a smartphone, what do you do in your house? You don't let them go into the bedroom with it. No. Every parent who's got a teenager who's got a smartphone or older kid, I don't know when you let your kid, you put that somewhere else in the house. That should never go into a bedroom with teenagers during the night. Man, they need sleep. And they need uninterrupted sleep. Get this thing out. I got convicted about that and said, well, that'd be the easiest thing to do. You know what we used to do before smartphones? Televisions became so cheap, we actually put televisions in our bedrooms. I remember doing that. I remember a friend, he got a television put in his kitchen. So mama could watch the daytime dramas while she was in the kitchen during the day. I don't think she was in the kitchen during the day. I think she went to the den and watched a big TV in there. He wasn't watching all that little tiny thing. But he didn't know any different. Before their smartphone, we had distractions and we brought it in. I'm just encouraging you, when it gets bad enough and you've had enough. Now, some of y'all not there, I can tell you. This is not a law from Mount Sinai. It's just a suggestion. And I know some of y'all are just saying, well, you don't understand. I got to have my phone all the time because somebody might call. Can I tell you something? Really, how often does somebody call you at 3 o'clock in the morning? But how often do you get up in the night and you can't go back to sleep and you reach over for that phone and you pick it up? If I could just think of something else, maybe I can go back to sleep. And an hour has passed. And all you've done is look at your phone, just spinning, clicking. I'm telling you. Now, some of y'all can sleep through a hurricane. I get it. But most of us are really bad. And the old devil knows that. So we are bad sleepers. And so I just want to encourage you, join the club. I'm learning to put this away. Now, right now, I've taken a hiatus from social media, so it's not on my phone. So if you've been trying to get me, just call my phone. Now, I won't answer it in the middle of the night, but I'll get you first thing at 4:10 in the morning. I'll be glad to call you back when I get up. So, but the reality is you pick your schedule. You pick your schedule when it's good for you. But give yourself some time away. So in the morning, the first thing you don't do is you don't go on the phone, on the television. Get alone and be quiet with God. Now, what do you do when you get there? Not only silence the external noise, but also silence the internal noise. You see, it's easy to do the external noise. My problem's always been the conversations that just never stop. I got to do this, I got to do this, I got to do this. Man, I wish I wouldn't have done that. You know what? Was she not happy with something I said? And then we start thinking about all of that kind of stuff, and it's just nonstop. Well, one way you can do it is just silence those things. For a moment, get still, get before God, and like breathing. Now, I'm not telling you to physically do this. This is not kind of some Eastern thing. It's just think about breathing. You exhale and inhale, don't you? For life, it takes both. You got to get out the carbon dioxide so you can bring in the oxygen. You get out the bad stuff so you can breathe in the good stuff. And in your spiritual life, in that quiet, in that solitude, just you and God, breathe in all the things God has promised you in His Word. All the things that God has planned for you in His Word. It's there. You've been studying it. You know it. Just make your mind focus on just breathing in all the promises of God and the plans of God, and then breathe out everything in your life that's been happening lately that's not a part of that plan. That's called confession. God, I really struggled in this area. Breathe it out. Go ahead and admit it. Give it to Him. Please forgive me. Breathe in. God, You're so good to me. Breathe in the things that God has for you, planned for you. Breathe in all that God has given you. Thanksgiving. Breathe in, just being aware. Lord, look at all that You have done for me. Many people can't even experience the life they have in Christ. They're not grateful for all that God has done. Receive that. Receive that. And then breathe out praise and thanksgiving to Him. And that's that time of being in the Spirit, living in the Spirit, being aware that God is active in my life, doing His work in my life. I just want to encourage you this week. Start your year, whatever you're planning on doing, whatever you've started. Nothing wrong. We need exercise and a good diet and all those things. But friend, if you're not in Christ and you're not living each day in the power of the Holy Spirit, being aware of what God wants to do in your life, really, how much life are we really living? I want to encourage you today. Dear friend, 2025, let's make it a spiritual year, first and foremost. You will prosper first as your soul prospers. Live in the Spirit. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, our mighty God, we come before You now asking You to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. And I pray, Lord, that You would convict those who need Christ today. Some have already been experiencing that, and the Holy Spirit is telling them, you need to be saved. What better time at the beginning of a new year to take their stand for Christ and say, I need to be saved, and I'm coming by faith in Christ, and I receive His great gift of forgiveness and life, and I will follow Him with His help. I can't do it on my own, but I receive Him. He's Savior and Lord now of my life. I'll live for Him. Somebody, just a simple prayer. Lord, forgive me. Save me. I place my faith in You. follow him, take your stand in this invitation, make it public. He calls us to live our life publicly. And this way, you can take your stand for Christ today. Somebody may need a church home. Somebody, God is doing an amazing thing in your life, and you feel a turnaround. You feel a new day, a new spirit. It's the Holy Spirit working in your life. Maybe you have a testimony. You'll say, Lord, I just want to mark this day. My life is different today, and I'm going to confess that. Maybe God's calling you in ministry. Whatever the decision may be, Lord, help us live in the Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you please stand and come as the Lord leads you today?